Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world and we do it all over breakfast. Or should I say Breakfast? Every week on Breakfast, you get inside Hollywood info and tips, great breakfast recs and foodie debates. Most of all, you get the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Listen at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.
Much has changed since the last Mortal Kombat tournament. Dark forces of Outworld have begun invading the Earth realm. These attacks are seriously weakening Earth's dimensional fabric, enabling not only Outworlders to enter the Earth realm, but warriors from other domains as well. Only the most extraordinary warriors could possibly meet this challenge.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, but we have a very special, well, they're all special in their own way, aren't they? But we have an extra special Gina-themed episode this week as we talk about Mortal Kombat, the animated series. We'll tell the story in a sec, but first off, I am Ray Stecanus.
I'm Robert Clark Chan.
I'm Gina Ippolito.
And we are, again, this is the Mortal Kombat animated series. Now, we had a really amazing time when we recorded and talked to each other previously, because this past weekend, as we record this, was Gina Ippolito's birthday. We won't say which one, but Woo! Let's just say, finally, the big 2-0. And I'm very excited for her to finally hit 20. Next year, Gina, you'll be drinking.
Yeah, I can't wait to taste some Jägermeister and Goldschlager, some Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's all going to be delicious.
My 20s feel attacked right now.
About a drink called a Dead Nazi that is one part Goldschlager, one part Jägermeister, one part Rumpelmans.
That sounds gross.
Yes, 100%. But I thought I'd bring that up.
You just want to drink it because it's called a Dead Nazi.
Yeah, I mean, you do what you have to do to, for the cause of democracy.
How do we popularize now referring to a Jack and Diet as a dead Nazi so I can just feel better about it?
All of these drinks are terrible. That is outrageous.
TV's Gina Ippolito. Now, Gina had a... Yes.
Hold on. What is Gina's drink of choice?
I mean, I'm going with beer or a dirty vodka martini.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I have never once seen you drink a dirty vodka martini.
I used to drink them all the time at the I.O. bar. Sean Cowig would make them for me extra dirty, and he'd put them in a tumbler because I'm very clumsy.
I mean, that tracks.
Yeah, this makes sense. The specifics are enough to sell me on this.
So this past weekend for Gina's party, we had our first, now this is crazy, you guys, it's been over a year, but we had our first in-person gathering to go see the Mortal Kombat movie at an AMC theater.
I rented it out because I'm a baller. I'm a freaking baller.
Shot caller.
Loaded with people who have appeared on this show before, quite frankly.
No, you're only allowed to have 20 people. Let's not give the anti-mask, anti-vax crowd any fodder. It was a responsible 20 individuals in a large theater.
It was. We all socially distanced with seating.
Yeah. Loaded as in the percentage of those 20 people that were previous guests. Pretty high.
Loaded as in everyone had a loaded baked potato with them.
I got curly fries because it's still a novelty to me that you can get French fries in a movie theater.
You know what? I went classic. I went Twizzlers, a Coke, and popcorn. And even as I was buying the popcorn, I said, I'm going to get 5 bites into it and regret it like I always do because it's never as good as you want it to. And I should have gone with nachos, which I never regret. But part of me was like, first time back in a movie theater, I got to go classic. And then sure enough, like halfway through, I was like, have I enjoyed this?
I went with the famed chicken tenders and Sour Patch Kids combo. I don't regret my choices at all.
Oh, yeah, that's a good combo.
I got a peanut M&M's because my kid is allergic to peanuts. So now if I'm out somewhere without him, I'm like, this is the only chance I have. It's either Reese's Pieces or peanut M&M's. I went through the peanut M&M's, could not finish the bag. And I pushed further than I should have. I'll just say that.
You got to peanut him up every like year or so to see if he's over it. You gotta just like toss one at him just to see. If he's over it.
No, that's what you call irresponsible parenting and the sort of thing that gets your kid taken away from you. So
don't tell anyone.
Why does he keep showing up with hives all over him and having trouble breathing? Don't worry about it.
Look, I've told you this story like 9 times, but my nephew was allergic to peanuts and then one day he was not.
That's, yeah, no. That's a thing that can happen.
Based on a true story by Gina Ippolito.
Kind of like how you could get cancer and then it goes into remission, but you don't want to just sort of like rely on the universe to clear that up for you.
You got to test it out. You don't just like go and get a cancer diagnosis and then like 5 years later, you're like, I'm assuming you still have cancer. You got to get that shit tested.
This all holds up 1,000%. Gina, could you tell us, after witnessing the Mortal Kombat movie, what did you say upon walking out of the theater and everybody's eyes turning to you?
I said, that was the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life.
And me and Chan will agree with you. It was the greatest movie potentially ever. I've never laughed, cried, cheered, stood up out of my seat more in a very, very long time. Maybe since Snakes on a Plane have I enjoyed myself in a movie so much.
I 100% admit that a lot of the joy in that theater probably had to do with the fact that those people have not been outside in over a year and were just so relieved to be anywhere and eating snacks and not having to wear a mask. But like even the freaking trailers were a delight. Like they had the Fast and Furious, I think 9 trailer. And I think that was the first trailer we saw. And I could tell it was the perfect group to have invited along because everyone immediately burst out laughing at various parts of it and just clapping and laughing. And it was truly a delight. And then there were like 90 other trailers and then the movie started and everyone was super into it the whole time, including me.
Yes, it was a blast. And I highly recommend anybody, if you have HBO Max, just watch it. But it will not be the same as the theatrical experience. And even that
will not
be the same as this theatrical experience.
I am very curious to see how it holds up on its own, because I walked out thinking, like, this is not a good movie, but it is a perfect movie.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I actually would argue that it is a good movie, and I realize 100% that, like, parts of it are schlocky, and I even just, in my nerdy rabbit hole that I've been going down since we saw it, which includes reading the plot line of every single game that ever was released.
Oh, I thought you were going to say there was a novelization that you read.
Alan
Dean Foster presents
Mortal Kombat. There is, which I will be reading soon. But there was an article that was comparing the original, the 1995 version, which is also perfect, with this one to say like which one is better. And it made a lot of good points. And I think this is a movie that accurately, like, it tells you exactly what it is, and then it delivers on that. It's not saying, hey, this is going to be an Academy Award winner. It's saying, you are going to go in here, you're going to see a lot of dope-ass fight scenes, and it's going to be a fun time. And it was that. And one of the coolest things to me is the fact that, like, the director basically said that they didn't really have time for actors and stunt people. So they hired actors who could do their own fight scenes and stunts, like Louis Tan, who's a real fighter, because they wouldn't have time to like shoot it all those times with actors and then put their stunt doubles in. And they said that they would start like training for one fight scene, train for it for a long time, shoot it, and then the actors would have no break. The next day they would start practicing and learning the next fight scene because the fight scenes were so elaborate. So I went in with high hopes and they did not disappoint. Like those fight scenes were cool.
Yeah. I have nothing to add to this. The level of brutality and violence was over the top and fun. The characters were great. You've probably heard Kano steals the entire movie, and he does. He's my favorite character in the movie by far.
He was like the linchpin of the film because it is an absurd concept. And, you know, even the idea of making a movie based on a fighting game, which is just like go left, right, kick, 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 punch, punch. And that's it. You know, like,
how dare you? There's an art form there.
But he is there the entire time to sort of like be that voice of like, this is dumb. This is really stupid. Are you kidding? Fireballs? This is absurd. And it's sort of like evens everything out. He's the keel that sort of keeps the boat aright, and it's delightful.
He plays the role that Johnny Cage played in the original, because a lot of people were pissed that Johnny Cage wasn't in this because he's an original character. But the reason they did it was because they wanted the audience to look forward to something for the second movie, for the actual tournament. But I will say that kudos to the writers. And again, like I'm legitimately saying this is a good movie, because a lot of times in movies like this, which are already like, you have to overcome the fact that it's a ridiculous concept and it's going to be schlocky. And to be able to write jokes and have an actor deliver them and have them not be jokes that you're like laughing at because they're so freaking stupid and bad. And like those jokes were actually good. And that actor delivered them well, that I was genuinely laughing. I wasn't laughing because it was like, oh my God, that's so bad. I was laughing because I was like, damn, that was a great delivery, man.
Yeah, he killed it. Just absolutely killed it. So, well, this led us to a separate conversation where Gina says, oh my gosh, you guys, did you know there was a Mortal Kombat cartoon? To which me and Chan responded with, yes, Gina, not only have we done it for this podcast, you were on the episode talking about it with us. I went back and found it. It was from season 2 of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. You may have seen us. We put it in the feed like a week ago just so you guys could hear it. It's a pretty good episode, quite frankly. And our delivery when we were live and had energy and didn't hate the world yet, well, we did, but not as much. And it was a fast and furious and fun show, and I think you guys should check it out. Well, this is the next episode of Mortal Kombat, because all this just ties together too well. Let's do another episode of Mortal Kombat, or as Gina would say, let's do Mortal Kombat for the first time.
Look, first of all, I don't remember it. Second of all, it's Chan and I, not me and Chan. So now I've turned it back on you. Now who's the foolish one?
I...
me am the foolish one.
Yes. Well, thank you for that, Gina. Well, this is Mortal Kombat. Now, the previous episode we did was episode 8, because we just felt like it. Why not? This is Mortal Kombat episode 9, and this might lead us somewhere in season 5 of Knowing Is Half the Podcast, because Chan elucidated us. Am I using that word right? Probably not.
Nope, not even close.
He elucidated us with information that this was an episode that launched a crossover between Mortal Kombat animated series and, what'd you say, Street Fighter animated series and like two others?
And Savage Dragon and Wing Commander Academy.
Wing Commander. Now imagine this. Now, basically, the idea is, we'll just discuss it further, but they find an orb that allows weird things to happen, and they're going to use this orb as a plot MacGuffin in order to go to these other universes and fight people, I guess. So there's going to be apparently Mortal Kombat crossovers with those other shows that we may have to find elsewhere in season 5 and then just go and track them down and follow this story, because apparently this is quite a story.
All aired the same block on USA. So,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
I like it. Well, this
I
one
knew
is...
that those things existed, but like I love Street Fighter, and I've never seen that cartoon.
No, I don't think I have either. And Savage Dragon, I mean, I'm familiar with it now a lot because of a Who Would Win episode we did recently, but I was thinking we should do the animated series anyway. So what the heck? We're here. Let's do some crossover nonsense.
Let's do it.
Well, this episode is called Resurrection, and it opens up with Shao Kahn. And this made me laugh because, you know, he's got these like, what do they call them? Like guys in robes. He's got these cultists around him. And he's basically like, get me my prune juice. Because he gets this big old tumbler of juice delivered to him that turns out to be a magic potion. And he's got a big old pile of bones in front of him because, you know, you're Shao Kahn. It's how you live. You wear a bone on your face, for God's sakes. And it turns out it's the bones of Shang Tsung, who's been murdered. So this show is already telling you, like, look, we're not going to have a lot of action, but we're not afraid to talk about murder.
Real quick. That's the resurrection music. Lives again. Shang Tsung comes back to life, and they just put in the generic
fake techno.
Upbeat. Yeah, because you can't even have dark music in this cartoon because it's for children. So it's beep, 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 beep. for yes, a zombie wizard, a lich, if you will.
A lich. Well, is he a lich? I mean, he's not really a zombie. I mean, he was resurrected, so he's back to life again.
Yeah, he's full on resurrected.
But he's not undead. He's like you know, he's not human, I guess, but
he's not. Well, you know what? I don't know the specifics of this.
In my reading of every single description of what the plot lines are of the games, this is a very common thing for individuals to get resurrected, obviously. Correct. Because you can't have, you know, no Sub-Zero after he gets killed. You've got to bring him back. And so this is one of probably many times that Shang Tsung dies.
Yeah, well, I appreciated that Shao Kahn brings Shang Tsung back to life, gives him a robe, and then the first thing he does is like backhand him across the room and is like, I'm not done whooping on you, bitch.
That's why I wrote punch in my notes.
Oh, God, I loved it.
Why would I have written punch in a Mortal Kombat thing? And they're like, oh, right. There was that specific punch, which was kind of funny.
Like, if you're an evil necromantic warlord who can bring people back from the dead, wailing on them and killing them and then bringing them back to bitch slap them some more is kind of a baller move, quite frankly.
Yeah. It's something I'd do for sure.
I mean, that's fair. So he gives him, and this is a little weird to me, because Shao Kahn gives Shang Tsung an orb of power. And he says, we need this orb, and you're going to use this orb to control stuff. And not only will it affect the weather on Earth, but also deprive Raiden of his powers somehow.
No, like, it controls the powers of nature, which admittedly is very broad.
That's pretty weak. Yeah.
The power of the elements, fire, wind, water, and earth, as we all know.
Which one of those is lightning? Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
They did specify, though, line.
But no, that's why I wrote down, they specifically said the powers of nature.
I remember it being the powers of nature, but whatever.
Fire, wind, water, earth, and that includes Raiden's powers.
Now, yeah, why
they
exactly?
They wanted to clarify, because obviously lightning is not one of those, and if you had to like figure like electricity, is that, that's not earth, and it's not water.
Sort of air, I guess.
But
it's in the
sort
air.
Of fire. It's like energy, but like
I would buy that it's air, because it's like, you know, if you can control the molecules in the air, you could maybe make
but
it happen.
You also, but if you do that, you also control fire. So look, the whole deal is Shang Tsung asked the correct question. Why did you bring me back to life to do this? Not that I'm upset about it. But why did you do this? And in my mind, first off, he's like, why didn't Shang Tsung immediately take that orb and shove it up Shao Kahn's ass? Like, you know, you all of a sudden can do this. Why not just like wreck him with it? But I guess that's fine. It only works on Raiden. But the plot device, it says, Shao Kahn says, Shang Tsung, I brought you back to life because the more evil a person is, the more powerful the orb is in their hands. And no one's more evil than you. I would argue that Shao Kahn is considerably more evil than Shang Tsung.
But he notoriously doesn't like to get his hands dirty. That's why he's like not even, you know, seen for a little while in the games. But do you know who Shang Tsung is voiced by?
No, I do not. But I know there's a lot of talented people with this cast I was going to talk about. Which one is Shang Tsung?
Well, in addition to our very talented cast, he was voiced by Neil Ross.
Was that right? Oh, yeah. I didn't even pick up on that. He's real talented. We like Neil Ross a lot. Yeah. He's like the last human I saw live before we all went into pandemic.
Oh, so you're blaming him is what you're saying.
Look, I don't want to say Neil Ross caused the pandemic, but moving forward. Okay, so the whole plan here is that the Shang Tsung is going to lure out the elf realm, the earth realm troops. Say that five times fast. And then after
real
he beats
quick,
them up.
Real quick.
Yes.
Do you know who played Shao Kahn?
Let's just talk about the entire cast right now, Chan, because there are so many good people. I don't off the top of my head.
Do
but,
you
let's
recognize
go
the name Dean Wormer?
I mean, I recognize
him
from.
That's not who played him.
Something.
The character, the actor's name is John Vernon.
Oh,
he played Dean Wormer in Animal House.
In Animal House, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Shao Kahn?
That's Shao Kahn.
he's been in tons of stuff.
I have no doubt. He seems like like a character actor obviously is going to be doing this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like, from fucking Animal House to Mortal Kombat, Defenders of the Realm is is a leap. That's a big one.
He does. He has a big voice. He has a big booming voice because he plays a lot of characters that are always yelling.
Who's more evil, Dean Wurmer or Shao Kahn?
It's a good question.
Now here's the cast, guys, because that was already two like superstars, as I know it to be. Other people in this cast. Let's just talk about it right now. Clancy Brown, our pal, plays Lord Raiden, among others, which is already like go for it. Sub-Zero is played by Luke Perry, who I have a personal connection with. R.I.P. Very, very good man. Princess Katana is Cree Summer, who you might know from A Different World, or she did the voice of Elmira on Tiny Toon Adventures. Huh. Curtis Stryker is Ron Perlman, for gosh sakes. You know Hellboy,
mm-hmm.
playing the best character in Mortal Kombat. I think we can all agree.
That is not the case.
Most hated character in the history of Mortal Kombat.
Best character. I think you misspelled something there. So Frank Welker's, of course, shows up at some point. And this guy, Brian Tochi, he seems like he's real familiar. He plays Liu Kang.
Yo, and you skipped over every boy's first crush, Olivia Diabo.
Yes. I don't know who that is. Who is
what
that?
Dude.
What is wrong with
dude.
You?
I don't know who that is.
Come
that's
on.
Oh, Ray.
Conan
every
the Destroyer.
Boy's first crush. The Wonder Years. Kevin's sister on The Wonder Years.
No, I never saw it.
Oh,
you never saw Wonder Years?
No, I never was into that show.
Did you see Conan the Destroyer?
No.
What is happening right now?
Oh my God.
I'm not familiar with these things. Oh, she was a voice actor in Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker. So there you go.
That's what you're focusing on?
I haven't seen Robo Dog. I haven't seen any of this stuff.
What are you looking at?
I'm looking at her IMDb page right now. Here's the deal. She did a lot of VO stuff. She did a lot of TV series, one of which, believe it, guys, is called Mortal Kombat, Defenders of the Realm, where she played Sonya Blade.
All right, here's
the
thing.
Pretty wild.
Gina is correct here. I got to do a sketch show with her once, and it was just inches below the high point of my life that was doing a sketch show with Roddy Piper. So
that was pretty good. Yeah,
I'm gonna predict that we get a lot of tweets from guys saying, yes, she was my first crush.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Guys, if you have ever heard of this complete mystery, Olivia Diabo. Diabo? Is that?
Diabo. I hate everything about this.
You know, like DS9. Diabo. She's a Diabo girl.
DS-abo.
Diabo.
Diablo? Is she the devil?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, all right. Well, that makes sense then. Anyway, so she's in it too. So this cast is excellent. And this show exists. So we go back to this is maybe the weirdest point. There are many weird points in this episode, a lot of exposition, but Lord Raiden is hanging out and he's feeling weak but doesn't want to admit it to the rest of the team because the orb is starting to siphon his powers. The rest of the team is in this underground lake, for better term, and they have these dragon jet planes that are in the water of the underground lake, and for some reason they're just floating in the water fixing the jets while they're in the water. No part of this is tracking to me in any possible way, but the actual weird part is when Raiden and Jax start getting into it, because Raiden's just like ordering them around and Jax is like, you know, I'm gonna beat your nose, and then they start like kind of getting like alpha at each other, and then Jax says one of the weirdest things I could have imagined him to say.
How would you like to eat that tool? Give it your best shot, girlfriend.
Now, the whole idea of him calling Raiden girlfriend really caught me for a loop here. I was not ready for that. I'll admit
I think it's a pretty good burn. It managed to tell him, I'm not afraid of you. And also question his masculinity a little bit.
I wanted to keep going with that clip because that music starts coming back, like there's like a storm or something, like trees start falling, and I feel like the last thing you want to score that scene to is
Chan, they're allowed one piece of music and they're gonna get fair use out of it as much as possible.
Music budgets are very expensive, so it makes sense that they had one song created for this and that was what they had budgeted for.
And then it gets weirder because there's a big old computer alert. Somehow they have this like magical giant computer that like senses when outworld stuff is happening. And of all the characters that's piloting it, and maybe this is a problem in me, but I was shocked to see that Nightwolf was the chosen mainframe computer expert I would have sworn it should be either Jax or Sonya Blade or one of these military people who would have had training in major computers and communications.
What are you talking about?
As like, opposed to the guy with the wolf.
Do you assume that all military people have training in computers? Is that what you're saying?
Don't they? I mean, they have this pretty high-tech gear that they walk around with all the time.
And that having a wolf makes you not go to computers?
No, if I had a wolf, I'd be hanging out with a wolf, not hanging out on a computer.
Native Americans are not good at computers because Ray is being racist right now.
That is pretty sure that's what we're going on.
First of all, like, high-tech weaponry is not the same as a computer, Ray. So saying like, oh, why wouldn't these two military people be experts at computers? It makes no sense whatsoever.
No, listen, I guess the whole thing for me is when you think about computer experts in every show we've ever seen, it's always the dweebish guy or the office guy. Like, it's always whoever, you know, it's the guy
and
with the beard.
How does that describe either Sonya Blade or Jax?
Well, because they're in the military, so they would have good computer training.
The dweebish guys people. In the military, you know.
None of this,
most people think of soldiers as dweebs.
Well, even Curtis Stryker, in my mind, would be a more logical, obvious choice to be a computer guy because then he also doesn't have to do
There's nothing
else.
That connects military training with any type of computer skills. Even having just watched The Punisher, he has no computer skills of his own. It's all done by Micro, the actual computer nerd. So there's nothing in storytelling that ever implies that people who are military fighters and they're combat fighters, it's made very clear that they're special ops.
Now, wait a minute. Did Micro have a pet wolf and wear only a vest and face paint? I guess that's the part that throws me off.
So again, you're going back to the way he physically looks at the fact that he's Native American that makes you think he's the least suited to work a computer instead of literally everyone else.
Listen, I don't look good here and I can appreciate that. I guess that's not the type of, I don't know. Like, look, I want to see Nightwolf out in the field with his wolf kicking some guy in the junk. And you know, using his powers and having the wolf savage somebody.
You're not,
I don't
want to
see
Nightwolf
behind a desk.
With every word you say.
I'm not going to win this on any level.
Did you just say that you wanted one of the Mortal Kombat defenders of the realm to be behind a desk? Like, we're going to go to the Mortal Kombat video games, rife with fatalities, every single one of these people, a hardened killer. And the thing we want to see most from them is computer skills.
Yeah,
He doesn't want Nightwolf to have his own thing, is what
he's
saying.
No, because I also wouldn't want Lord Raiden to be there. I wouldn't want Liu Kang or Kung Lao to be there.
Lord Raiden commands electricity. How are computers run?
Never have to worry about a power failure, I suppose.
There's probably a lot of power surges.
No, I want to ask the people at home this. Hashtag who's got computer duty? I want to know which Mortal Kombat character in your mind should have been the one behind the computer. And when you all answered Nightwolf, you're really going to get me on this one.
Oh, my God.
Look, that threw me for a loop. Okay,
here's
listen.
Here's the thing. Would it throw you for a loop to know that he's also a historian? Or are you just assuming he's an idiot with a wolf and all he's good for is making his wolf bite people?
Well, look, making his wolf bite people will be the coolest thing anybody could do. So start there. Of course, that's not a problem that he's a historian.
Does he? I'm curious if, in fact, he does have have the wolf bite people, being that this show is so like it's terrible on a lot of levels, but on the base level, a game about murdering people, like not even just beating them up, but literally killing them, causing fatalities, is turned into a kid's cartoon. It's one of the base problems I had with G.I. Joe in the first place, and especially the Deke years when they made it like targeted real young children for this. Like, if the base premise is like, I'm a person who kills, but I can't show any of the killing, what do you have left? And I suspect that wolf doesn't bite anybody, which is why they do the weird turn, because they jump into each other and Nightwolf becomes super powered? I'm unclear how that quit works.
Yeah. Okay, here's straight from the Wikipedia page. In the 1996 cartoon series, because I didn't remember him in the game having a wolf, but in the 1996 cartoon series, Nightwolf serves to offer both spiritual and technical help to the Earth Realm warriors having experience with computer technology. He only fights a few times, spending most of his time back at the base, monitoring the Earth Realm looking for dimensional rips. He has a pet wolf named Kiva who could merge with him to increase his power.
Okay, well, there you go. There you go, everybody. So who's got computer duty? It's your hashtag for this episode. I want to know, because I'm probably wrong, but I want to be sure.
I mean, Wikipedia just said, so like, this is an uphill battle.
Hold on, I got to do some edits.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Prepare yourself for combat.
Mortal Kombat action figures.
Fight for right in your own tournament of champions.
Liu Kang.
Johnny Cage. Raiden.
Get over here.
Sub-Zero. Reptile in the Dragon MK1. Kano on the combat cycle. Mortal Kombat. It's not just a game anymore. Mortal Kombat action figures. Combat cycle comes with Kano. Dragon MK1 comes with Reptile.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
Anyway, so he goes on the monitor and they find out that the big thing attacking the Earth right now is climate change. And I found that to be real wild that all of a sudden it became like the day after tomorrow. And all of these weather events are happening all over the world. And they're like, well, shit, Shang Tsung must have an orb or something.
Yeah, a talisman in the game. At some point, he has a talisman that they do a quick Easter egg in the movie that we just saw that leads to a bunch of bad crap if anyone gets their hands on it. So this is basically like them being like, let's just give him a magical object that can wreak lots of havoc.
I mean, I'm here for it. It's all cool. And Raiden obviously is weak, doesn't want the crew to understand that he's weak. And what's wild is they're all like, let's go beat up Shang Tsung. And then Jax just turns because he sees something's wrong with Raiden, but doesn't want to call it out in front of everybody. That's a G move. I like that. I appreciate that, Jax. But he turns to the rest of the crew. He's like, hey, my tum-tum hurts. I'm just going to stay home.
He should really, what he needs to do is he needs to go get some Gatorade. He needs to get Raiden some Gatorade. Maybe some Gatorade. Like, you know, a pack soup. Of M&Ms, maybe some saltines.
7-Up was what we used for my house.
Yeah,
burners
for
back
different
home.
Things. If you had the diarrheas, you got to get some electrolytes back in you.
I don't recall Raiden at any point saying anything about diarrhea. Well, hold on, did I miss that?
Yeah, it was heavily implied. It's a major plot point. Implied. Yeah. I'm just saying he needs some Pedialyte or some Ensure in him. He needs to get his energy back up.
I made dookie in my pants.
As only Clancy Brown could say.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate Jack stays behind to sort of like check on his boy, even though they're not really that good of friends, because obviously they're constantly like riffing on each other. So, okay. They get in the dragon jets. They show up at the anomaly and they fight a whole bunch of robots because, you know, you're only allowed to fight robots in these cartoons. So they do that in some of the laziest animated fighting I may have ever seen. It was basically like, turn my wrist, hit guy.
Wait,
I don't remember who said, come on, let's do it, but they really shouldn't have.
Were they robots or were they the dark monks?
I got here that they were robots. I mean, here's the deal. I could very well be wrong. I've been wrong about so much this episode. Boy, stop there.
Yeah, because the monks had robes on and these dudes had like some kind of like robot-y armor, so.
I mean, that's fair. Shang Tsung then shows up and he uses the orb to rip a chasm underneath everybody. And they all have to like save each other. So like half of them are basically going to tumble to their death. And the other half of them need to be saved. Now, the fact that both female characters both needed to be saved. Come on, Mortal Kombat. You could have done better than that.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah.
It was Sub-Zero.
Some of us don't see gender, Ray.
Mm-hmm. And
which
that's
makes
part of
for
the problem.
Real awkward nights at the bar.
Oh, man. So, yeah, it's basically Sub-Zero falls into this lava chasm and has trouble. That I understand. Look, that's completely fine. But then Kitana and Sonya Blade also need to be bailed out. And I was like, you could have had, like, one bailout of dude. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Well, they all fell in, and then Shang Tsung's like, yeah, you got to tell Raiden to come get you. Ha, 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 ha. And none of them are like, well, this is obviously a trap, so let's not do that because it would be dumb.
Yeah, he said, I'm going to close the chasm and crush all six of you if you don't get Raiden here right now. And I guess in my mind, if Shang Tsung just closed the chasm and murdered all six of them, Raiden would probably show up.
Yeah, yeah.
Or call me crazy.
They make the call, and Raiden comes, and then he squishes them while they're on their way.
But sometimes, a lot of the times, they want to kill them in a way that they can, like, reanimate them to fight for the bad guys. That also happens a lot in Mortal Kombat. Like, they'll be killed in a certain way, usually, like, stabbed, and then someone will be like, all right, resurrect them and get them to work for the bad guys now. So I would imagine that crushing them wouldn't leave enough to be resurrected.
Of course, it's all there. It's just in the wrong place. It's like when you press a flower in a book, you know, it's all still there.
No, but I feel like it's like mashed potatoes. It's really hard to get him to stand up after that.
Do you mean that they're more delicious after mashing?
Yeah,
that I believe.
Exactly
yeah.
What I mean.
Yeah. I mean, you just proved my point. Thank you very much.
So we cut back to the base, and now Jax and Raiden are like, we got to go. I mean, look, this is just what we got to do. We got to go. And so they're flying in one of the dragon jets, and this allows for a real heart-to-heart conversation between Jax and Raiden. And this was basically the meat and centerpiece of the entire episode. So get ready, guys.
It was so long and and it can't even really be categorized as exposition. It's best categorized as character growth and character moments.
I agree.
But in a fighting show, I mean, this scene lasted like, it felt like 3 minutes, which is an eternity in a show like this.
They didn't have to animate a lot for it, but Jax is basically like, hey, can we have a bro heart-to-heart conversation? And Raiden's like, I barely know you or care about you, but sure, I'll just deny I ever answered any of your questions. And it's like, all right. So Jax says, why do you stick around, Raiden? And Raiden goes on a poetry-laden, minute-long monologue about all of the wonderful things about Earth, and he feels connected. But
this
most of all,
feels very Captain Planet-y.
Oh, I was thinking very Doctor Who-y.
Well, there's this.
But it is also remarkably fragile. Too few mortals realize that over 100 species perish from the planet every day.
That is some real specific fourth grade Earth Day shit right there.
But I feel like all of his stuff about because he's basically saying like, well, I'm a god and humans have the capacity. And I feel like this is like a word for word Doctor Who speech where it's like, oh, their lives are so short and they have the capacity for like terrible things, but also sometimes they do glorious things. And I mean, while I appreciate that they're trying to stuff all this into a kid's cartoon, the fact that the rest of the episode was also pretty boring made this not a welcome 3 minutes in my book.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
So, girlfriend.
Okay.
I was just about to ask for it. So there it is.
Turns it back on him.
Calls him girlfriend.
It's so weird. I mean, I love Clancy Brown, and like, obviously this wasn't his choice because like all of the dialogue is such that it is a conversational Raiden. He's just like a chum and not a god, which it's just so strange. You have all these other characters to be chummy. You should have him be a friggin' god.
Yeah, like what they did with Christopher Lambert in the original movie, and even more so in the new one as well. He does put himself on a plateau above everybody else because he is a god.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's also, I mean, in the lore of Mortal Kombat, there are so many rules that govern him that he's not allowed to interfere with. So clearly when they were writing this cartoon, they were like, we need him to be an active character. He can't just be a god that comes down and is like, hey, this thing is happening, I can't help you. And so they're clearly realize, which that they're right, that would be a crappy, really inactive character. Yeah. If you're making him a regular character on a TV show versus just, you know, in the movie, he's explaining things. So I get why they did it. And they also can't leave him out as a character because he's like everyone's favorite character. Mm-hmm. So they needed to sort of like split the difference somehow, which I think they did.
You put him in there like the computer they have. Like every once in a while, he like, hey, there's a thing going on. You've got to go fix it. Okay,
I don't
thanks,
know.
Raiden.
I think that's not active enough for a cartoon, and especially because like in cartoons, if you're gonna bother to make those character designs, you're gonna want to use them over and over and over again, especially like budget reasons. So to have him only sort of be there as a guide every now and then versus an active character, and they're wasting a character design on him. They would either have to like insert another character or like beef up someone else's role. I don't know, like maybe give like Liu Kang a lot of it, but it seems like he's who everyone wants to see. So
listen,
I don't know. I think they made the right decision.
Hit me with your Joan Osborne. What if God was one of us? Bullshit. Raiden should not be best bros with all of the other Mortal Kombaters.
But also, again, it is in keeping with the games, because at some point he does sort of have to give up his god status and fight as sort of a mortal for various reasons, and they find reasons every few games to sort of be like, now he's lost his powers, now he doesn't have power in this other realm, but now we're going to trap him in this realm, and oh, now he's dead, and now we're doing this.
And I don't really have a problem with that. Like, go ahead and depower him, but like being sort of splitting the difference. I'm a god, but I'm chill, but I'm a god, but you know,
I
sometimes
like a chill
I feel a little weak.
I'm here for all of the above. Look, I also wrote down here, Raiden kind of sucks. Like, for being, look, I appreciate that he's a god and he knows that he's a god and he's hanging around mortals, but why has he got to be such a dick about it all the time? You know, he's really like the bully kid on the playground who's like 3 years older, but was held back a year. So like he's like still shoving around the younger kids, and he's like a foot taller than everybody else. He's like, yeah, I could kick your ass. It's like, well, yeah. Look,
but
how
that
fucking
is how Christopher
are.
Lambert was in the movie. Like, he was very much like, you know, sort of like, yeah, all right, if you guys want to get killed, okay, stupid idiots. All right, well, I'm gonna laugh at you now because you're stupid.
Maybe it's, I don't know. Maybe it's just the way he's written here. It didn't bother me when Lambert did it. Here it just sort of was grating on me that just like he wouldn't shut up about how better he is than everyone else. Like, I don't know, that really started rubbing me the wrong way.
To be fair, Clancy Brown is better than all of us.
I mean, look, Clancy Brown is the best among us.
Yeah,
if the character were Clancy Brown, the God of Thunder, 100% on board. I'm like, fuck yeah, man.
That wouldn't bother me at all.
You're a badass, and I respect that.
You know what? What if we just assume Raiden is Clancy Brown in disguise? Now I'm okay with it. So here we are. The airplane ends up crashing, and so they have to go and they have to fight. So Raiden has now been fully mortal. His powers have been taken for the most part, by the orb. And then there's a big old fight. And it was kind of cool because Shang Tsung shoots Raiden with lightning and he hurts him with it. And I'm just like, ooh, look at that. Look at that storytelling.
Taste your own medicine, bitch. That's what he said.
Better,
that's what he said in the cartoon.
Who's better than everyone else now?
Let me pull up that sound clip.
That's exactly what he said. There's a real reason to check it, Chan. Thank you.
Okay.
So the cool, though, Raiden is just distracting Shang Tsung by fighting him. Jax is pulling up everybody else. Now, these are fighters who can, like, murder 8-foot-tall, four-armed monsters, but they can't climb their way out of a hole.
This is a poor showing for literally everyone except for Raiden and Jax in this episode. And to be fair, they get almost no airtime, but it's again, and I said this before we started recording, but my impression of Mortal Kombat has always been the Earthrealm characters are the lamest characters. Like, give me, you know, like hella Sub-Zero, give me Scorpion, give me Baraka, give me Katana, give me Melina. But when, like, even playing the OG game, like, Sonya was kind of lame. Liu Kang is cool because he always did that bicycle kick thing. Mm-hmm. But, like, Jax was kind of lame, like, gameplay-wise and things like that. So in this episode, we get none of, like, for the most part, Sub-Zero's really hot the whole time. And in his credit, he acts exactly how I act when I get too hot, which is just, like, shuts the fuck down. And yep. is just, like, does not want to do anything and, like, makes other people carry him. I think at one time at the farmer's market, I overheated and Chan had to go get me water. So this is, I am Sub-Zero in this thing, but he's not doing anything. He's just like hot. And then it's like, all right, let's cut away from him. Is Katana doing something? And she's just like, nope, I'm not doing anything. Move the camera to someone else, I guess. The only good part about this is that I don't have to see Curtis Stryker at all.
Yeah, that was a bummer. I really thought that story, Gina, was going to end with Chan carrying you out of the farmer's market. Now I'm just disappointed that's not what happened.
I just remember, like, I sat in his car and Sai was there too, and they had to go get me water because I overheat like a pig without any ability to, like, regulate my body temperature.
Okay. So what next time they do a farmer's market, for Gina's sake, people, get a big pile of mud somewhere so that she can cool off.
Seriously.
Is that what I'm hearing?
I go from like, oh, it's too hot out to like, I am dying. Like, what I'm saying is I'm part Sub-Zero.
Okay. Aren't we all at the end
I'm
of the day?
Quarter Sub-Zero on my mother's side.
Well, you got a little Sub-Zero in you.
No. Mm-mm. Okay, so Shang Tsung sees what's going on. He tries to close the chasm, but our heroes get out in time. Raiden makes him, I guess, drop the orb, or Jax makes him. I don't know. Jax picks up the orb, Raiden opens a portal at this point because his powers all come back. Now, how this works, I'm not 100% sure, but he's back. And they yell, finish him, for Raiden to finish Shang Tsung, which made me happy. And he kicks him through a portal.
Did that make you happy? Really?
It did, yeah. And look, I don't need much.
Raiden, finish him!
Yeah, I'm happy. That brought it home for me. And the techno music helped too, yeah. And so he kicks him through the portal, which you find out was going into space. He kicks Shang Tsung into space?
He sends the orb to space. He sends Shang Tsung back to Netherrealm, I think. Or
Outworld.
Outworld, okay. And then, weirdly enough, Nightwolf, who's there with them, isn't Nightwolf there with them?
He is, but what are you about to say?
Well, Night, all of a sudden, as soon as he kicks him through the portal, Nightwolf shouts, everything around the Earth has gone back to normal. And the part that bothers me about that is, how the fuck would he know? He's just there with everybody else.
Because he's in tune with, like, he's in tune mm-hmm. with the spiritual realm and nature, and he's also constantly monitoring the computer that talks about the balance and imbalance between the realms.
He's not at the computer. The computer is back at the base, and we all know Nightwolf is the perfect choice for being the computer guy. We all agree on that. I feel
he's
bad
got
about
a smartphone.
He's got
a smartphone in 96. He's got a smartphone. Yeah, I just that was a little bit weird. I was sort of like, what? Nightwolf, what are you talking about? You're here with us.
He knows it because the temperature would have adjusted also. He's very in touch with things. Here's my thing. The Raiden, like, gets rid of the orb. I would have liked one, and like, loathe as I am to request more exposition, I would have liked one line where someone said, destroy that thing. And he said, I can't. It's too powerful. I'll have to send it somewhere where it won't be a threat to anyone. Because, like, just fucking destroy it, dude. Like, blast it with all your lightning and see if it destroys. Because obviously it's going to be found in space.
I mean, that's fine. He is so watered down that he can't even finish the bad guy who was already dead.
No, he
just
chooses not
sends
to.
Him back home. He sends him back home
because
they're not even going to bother destroying.
He knows, though, that Shao Kahn does to him is going to be 10 times worse than just a quick death.
That's what he says, but that's, you know, like, oh no, I could totally win Jeopardy if I was on. They're scared to have me on. That's why.
Yeah, I guess I could have gone for a full, like, Raiden suddenly from nowhere rips the upper torso half off of Shang Tsung and throws it to the ground. Like, I could have gone for that level of violence here. But unfortunately, this is 1996 and also a cartoon for children. We were not going to get that level of violence here.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh. Yeah, what a bummer. And that's Mortal Kombat, Defenders of the Realm from 1996, Episode 9. Gina, will you remember having seen this?
It's doubtful. There's something. My brain is broken, clearly. And I will not. And you know, like 2 years from now, when we all rent out an AMC to watch the next Mortal Kombat movie,
it's gonna happen.
I'm going to go down another rabbit hole. I'm going to reread all the descriptions of all the video games as if I'm reading them for the first time. And at some point, I'm going to text the two of you and say, oh, my God, you guys, there's an animated series. We have to do it.
Oh, my God. Here's the deal. You're not wrong either. All of these are true statements that will happen.
I want you to play this back for me when I do, and then I'll accuse you of altering someone else's voice to make it sound like me.
I mean, yeah. That's what you did this time. So, I mean, it's all holds up. Mortal Kombat Defenders of the Realm. I don't know. This cartoon is fine. I mean, the thing that kind of rubs me about this cartoon is that it's a little boring. It's a little boring for being
especially.
A Mortal Kombat cartoon. Yeah, I don't remember if the other one was boring, but this one was really exposition heavy, action light, and the interesting characters were given pretty generic stuff to do, so didn't really hold my interest too much.
I will say the fact that there's 13 episodes, the fact that we've already watched two of them, I will probably at some point watch the other episodes.
Let's go. 11 more to go. Let's do. We are now a Mortal Kombat podcast.
Are you seriously doing this again? Because you said last time you were going to watch more of these. You completely forgot they existed.
That's a good point. Wow.
Yeah, but to be fair, since we went to see Mortal Kombat in the theaters, I've been determined to watch all of the movies, even the crappy ones, which are all, by the way, on HBO Max.
I had no idea there were so many.
Yeah, you know what? I've only seen the first one, which is the good one with Christopher Lambert, Kari Hiroyuki Tagawa. Hopefully, I said that right. and
you're trying at least.
You know who else is in that one?
The what is it? The teacher from Billy Madison is Sonya Blade. That
yes,
one always threw me
yes,
for a loop.
Really great Johnny Cage. But. Yeah, like that one's great. And then they had a follow-up, which was Mortal Kombat Annihilation, and it was real bad. Yeah.
I saw that one in theaters. There are some good Johnny Cage moments in that movie.
Oh, no.
But overall, compared to the first one, it is a letdown. Yes.
It's such a letdown, and it's such weird. The costumes are weird, and the effects are weird. There's a whole YouTube mashup that my friend sent me in that email of like the worst moments of it, and it's just all really bad. And they even got some of the actors back for it.
Yeah.
But it's not good. But then there are apparently like two other movies that like I don't even know about.
I didn't
and
even
how
know
bad
about
must
these.
Those be if I don't
what
even
are those
know
movies. I've never heard. I thought that we were done at that point. What are these other Mortal Kombat movies?
I don't know, but I went on HBO Max to be like, I'm going to watch the original. I love it so much. It's so great. And then I was like, oh yeah, they've also got the crappy one on here, and then like two more that I was like, well, I guess I'm watching all of them.
Please report back because I'm not about to get into that business.
I will. I'm at a real slog part in my Marvel rewatch. so it's hard to, but I also kind of want to just power through it.
Aren't you on Cloak and Dagger now?
I am on Cloak and Dagger now. I just finished season one of Cloak and Dagger and it's fine.
I thought that was a dating app.
It's the club that Thomas Middleditch was caught in. No, it's fine. It's just like, you know, it interrupts a really good season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I love. And it's a lot of like teen angst. It's similar to Runaways in that like I like it fine. It's just less Marvel and more like CW teen angst. Mm-hmm. And also like having just read the Runaways comic where they show up and they're so capable and they're so awesome and they have full control of their powers. The fact that like season one ends and they're still not like, they still don't know what the hell their powers do. like kind of annoyed me. Like it was just so slow paced. And going into season two, I'm like, just freaking be Cloak and Dagger already. I want to see Cloak and Dagger. I don't want to see like Teen One and Teen Two. I want them to be Cloak and Dagger badasses at this point.
Now, I'm just now, I looked it up just while we were talking, and Mortal Kombat Legacy is a live action television show from 2011 to 2013 with two seasons starring Casper Van Diem as Johnny Cage, and it's on HBO Max right now.
I was not episodes. Aware of it.
I had no idea this thing existed, and I should have. I feel, how do I have this gap in my knowledge? Now,
a lot
I don't know.
Of those, a lot of those words that you just said are Gina words.
Yeah. Yeah, this is wild. And it's, yeah, first season was in 2011, second season 2013. Now, I don't know how long these episodes are. This might be sort of like fan made. I could be wrong about that.
There was a Mortal Kombat live action series in 98.
Oh,
I'm going to watch them all.
Okay. 22 episodes.
Each one of these episodes is about 10 or 11 minutes long. So it leads me to believe this wasn't like something that aired on television, but it definitely looks professional. So I don't know.
This one is 22 43 minute episodes. That's a full fucking hour of television.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to watch them all.
Mortal Kombat.
I can't get enough of it.
It's pretty great. Now, I bought Mortal Kombat 10 and 11. I bought some Mortal Kombat games like a few months ago, and now I need to dive into them because
As I was reading all the descriptions, you know, at some point they switch over from, they're not arcade games anymore. They're just for home gaming systems, which is a bummer, but you know, I get it. I guess arcade games are not cool anymore. But I was like, oh man, like, especially like Mortal Kombat 2 and 3, the arcade games, those are like my jam.
Yeah.
And I realized I don't have any for any of my game systems, and I have a lot of game systems, and I don't have any of the home games, and I need to remedy that because they are great.
Well, you know, if you ever hook up the Xbox One that I gave you,
I did hook it up.
If you get hooked up with Ultimate Game Pass, the best deal in gaming, no, they don't sponsor us, but it's their subscription where you have a library of like 100+ games at any given time and every original Xbox game, like all the Halos and everything. But there is one of the newest Mortal Kombat games is on there. And that's one of the things that I downloaded. So
Mortal Kombat X, is that the one?
I want to say it's X, but 11's the newest one, and I think this might be X on there.
Too, it would be too new, I think, to be on there.
Maybe. I think you're right, so I think this is X, but X is supposed to be very good. Yeah. The one that they bring in, like, a fuck ton of characters, like Jason Voorhees and Rambo and the Terminator.
Yeah.
And they just go nuts. They're like, why not bring in every rando character we possibly can and make them Mortal Kombat? Like, the Joker's in there. Like, this shit doesn't have to make sense anymore. It's Mortal Kombat. It's fun. So I believe that's the one. And why not check it out? Like, if you have that and have it set up, Ultimate Game Pass is something everybody should just have anyway, even if you don't have an Xbox. You should just have it to support people like me having it. And it's on there and would be no cost to play is what I'm trying to say. So,
yeah, I'm into it. I got to watch all of the Mortal Kombat content and then play all of the games.
Well, that's going to take you a while. Jesus. There are some good ones in there anyway. So, guys, that is Mortal Kombat, Defenders of the Realm. Guys, how do we... this episode wasn't so good, but do we see potential in this, or we kind of just be like, no, this was just a bad 90s idea?
No, I still thought it was... I mean, this episode is boring, but I still... like, you know, it's still not as bad as, like, Deke G.I. Joe or something, so I still dig it.
Wow, again, because I am so... against it in principle, like from the very conceptualization of Mortal Kombat, the children's cartoon, it is still better than G.I. Joe Deke era. And that's, that's hard to say.
I think there are certain episodes of Deke era that were better than this by far, but on a whole, this didn't piss me off to the level that Deke era did. I would say that G.I. Joe Extreme so far has been better than anything we've seen out of Mortal Kombat. I think that's a fair statement.
Sure, yeah.
But again, you know, comparing anything to Deke era is a pretty low bar, quite frankly. And really I enjoyed this more than Foofer. I'll put that out there.
Here's the question. do we keep going? There are three more parts to this crossover. Street Fighter Episode 22, The Warrior King. Mm. Savage Dragon Episode 21, Endgame. Mm. And Wing Commander Academy. Oh, dear. I didn't realize this is part three of four. We should have watched Street Fighter and Savage Dragon first.
Oh, okay.
Well, we're not going to understand what's going on.
This is our gateway into it. You know, we'll watch two prequels before we see this. That's fine. The answer is yes, Chan. I think for the next few weeks of this show, we should alternate G.I. Joe Extreme episodes with this series so we can give people the full picture of this timeline, because it kind of sounds really fun to do.
Like, this is what the 90s were, kiddies.
Yeah. Yeah, USA Network had a pretty baller lineup, quite frankly. Or so we'll find out. But I'm full speed ahead on this. I say let's do it.
Done and done.
Done and done. So we'll start with, what's the first one?
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter's the first one. So we're going to watch the Street Fighter cartoon in a couple of weeks, combining with Mortal Kombat. I'll be honest, I'm here for it. Let's make it happen.
And then Savage Garden.
Yes.
And Savage Garden. Ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
Ooh, I want to go to the party.
Yeah, I have no idea what any of the words are in that song. But it's a very catchy song. I like that song. When it comes out in the grocery store, I'm bopping. Am I the only one that has no... Maybe it's because I'm old and don't care anymore.
Oh, yeah, I'd bop to
it. I have no problem dancing at the grocery store to Toto's Africa or that.
Oh, look, I just bought Just Dance 2021. Oh, boy. Bought the unlimited pack so you could get all of the old stuff. There's just a practically a full album of ABBA tracks. So, you know, I'm going to be dancing my heart out, dancing like no one's watching. So.
And then you'll be escorted out of the Trader Joe's.
In my house. I'm not going to be escorted out of my house.
And then you're going to be escorted out of your house. Sir, please stop dancing to ABBA at 3:45 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Bounces you.
Here's
sir,
the thing.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave. EGOD. No, sir. I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
My kid hates me dancing.
Hates I wish both you was had dancing. Ended before.
My kid hates me. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lordy
I mean, that's
Lou.
For later. That is coming. Yeah.
Give it 10 years yet. And that's where you'll be, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's our episode, everybody. We have a plan for the next month and a half of Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Here's all the socials you can catch us at. Of course, facebook.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast or on Patreon, patreon.com/KnowingIsHalfThePodcast. We got a new patron again, and we're very, very happy with that. I'm still trying to set up the Find Your Fate on like a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon kind of a deal where you guys help me make the decisions and read it with me. I've gotten a little bit of positive feedback from that, but if that's a thing you guys want to see, hit us up on the Patreon. Let me know if that's a thing you want to see. Hit us up on Twitter. We can make this happen, and I want you guys involved in our show because we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. That's a lie. We probably still would, but my point is we still appreciate you, and we want you to be a part of it. So we could also hit us up on Twitter, the Twitter at G.I. Joe Podcast, or individually, I am at Almighty Ray.
At 999 RPMs.
I'm at Gina Ippy.
And I just noticed the name of this recording for Chan is Mortal Kombat Rossover, and now I think it's a Friends tie-in.
Yep, that's definitely what I meant to type in.
Yep, Rossover.
Yep, Neil Ross is in this episode. That's why I did that.
Now it makes tons of sense.
That's how we're going to label it in the spreadsheet that you guys have been working on.
Mm-hmm. Why do you keep saying that we're the ones that are going to be working on the spreadsheet? None of us are spreadsheet people.
Gina, you're the spreadsheet person.
Look, there's one person among the three of us who has a little bit more free time than the others, and it's not me.
Gina, if you want a spreadsheet, Gina, I'm pretty sure you're the only one who's actually going to do it. So this insistence of, guys, we need a spreadsheet, and then just staring across the room at the two of us. Unfortunately, the blinder shield is going up, and we cannot see you.
Look, here's the thing. We a friend of the podcast and my buddy Michael Esterin came to Mortal Kombat for my birthday and was introduced to Ray and Chan for the first time. And he was on board with the spreadsheet idea, especially because he was just asking about like, oh, what about this episode? I want to watch it. And Ray and I were like, I don't know. I don't know what episode that is. How many episodes have we done? And then Chan somehow went back through the archives, found it, and posted it. And Michael made the very good point that that is when the spreadsheet comes in handy, because you just do a keyword search in the spreadsheet, and then it says, you guys recorded it on this date. Here's the link to it. Look,
so Michael Estrin, if you're listening to this at home, get on the goddamn spreadsheet.
No, here's the thing. If some college student would like to be an unpaid intern for Knowing Is Half the Podcast.
No, do not listen to Gina. She's got a basement full of college interns. I'm making air quotes right here. Once you show up, you're not coming out.
No, look, you'll get a lot of real life experience. You'll get a lot of job experience. We'll all write you glowing letters of recommendations. All you have to do is come be our unpaid intern for the duration of listening to every episode that we've ever recorded and writing down the date that we recorded it and a brief log line about each episode.
There is literally no way anyone could ever figure that information out. Gina, what you're trying to say is, guys at home, roughly 6'3" to 6'5". And with washboard abs, aged 20 to 23, only talking to you right now. If you would like to intern for Knowing Is Half the Podcast and you're a big fan of crawl spaces, have I got the gig for you?
So many bodies in that crawl space. She hasn't even been in the house for that long, and yet it's already half full of bodies.
But in my defense, like, we've been mostly at home for the past year. So, like, I'm racking up more bodies than I normally would because we weren't allowed to leave.
Gina's been busy. Getting it's busy.
It's hard to get to the lime pits in a quarantine.
Getting busy. All right, I think we're done here. Good night, everybody.
Princess Kitana. Sub-Zero. Jax. Sonya Blade. Nightwolf. Kiva. Curtis Stryker. Driven by purpose and bound by honor, these are the defenders of the realm.
Hey, it's Brent Pope, the host of Breakfast with Brent Pope. You've seen me on some of your favorite TV shows saying things like, give it up, Jimmy, you gotta sink this putt to win. Or, I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilize the hydraulics. On Breakfast with Brent Pope, I sit down with guests from the entertainment world, working actors, comedians, writers, stunt people, you get it. And we do it all over breakfast, or should I say, Breakfast. Every week is a new episode of Breakfast, and here's what you get. Inside Hollywood info, like, how cool is it to act with Ed O'Neill? Spoiler alert, it's really cool. And what the heck is a gaffer? You get great Breakfast recs and foodie debates like, when should you go hash browns and when do you go home fries? I know the answer to that. Trust me, my pancake posse, my bacon brigade. Listen up, because Breakfast is the most delightful 30 minutes of your week. So dig in, it's Breakfast time. Breakfast with Brent Pope, available at Breakfast.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts are found.